Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live on the 18th floor at 303 East Wacker in the fantastic and beautiful WGN Allstate Skyline Studios. Nice and new and chromey and shiny. There's a really cool event that's happening starting on the 21st. It runs through June 21st through June 28th at the Music Box Theater, and it's called the Cinepocalypse Film Festival. And it's a great film festival, lots of premieres and world premieres of new movies, and then they're going to be showing some classic genre movies. And to tell us all about it is Josh Goldblum, who is the founder and artistic director of the Cinepocalypse Film Festival, and Mike Vanderbilt, who is assistant editor of Daily Grindhouse, which is co-sponsoring the event. You can check out CinepocalypseGenreFest.com and DailyGrindhouse.com for more information. And let's welcome the guys to the show. Josh, welcome to the show.
Nick,
how are you?
Thanks for having me, man.
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Just getting ready to grace your lovely city.
Yeah, can't wait to see it. And then we have Mike, Mike Vanderbilt. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, hey, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you.
All right, welcome to the show, Josh.
Thank you.
Tell us, Josh. Why don't you start off? Tell us all about the Cinepocalypse Film Festival.
Oh, where do we even begin this year?
Yeah.
We're coming in, kicking off this Thursday and running through the 28th. But we have around 9 world premieres. We have Lana Wachowski, 70mm screening of Howard the Duck. We have an audience or a Lifetime Achievement Award going to Ernest Dickerson. Closing night with the Kyoto Brothers for Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And about 50 more screenings in between.
That's fantastic, man. That is really fantastic. Now, how did this whole thing start, Josh?
You know, we kicked off about 5 years ago in Rosemont with the Bruce Campbell Horror Film Festival.
Right.
And that festival that at the time was being produced through Wizard World, myself and Bruce Campbell. And just over time, after visiting the Music Box Theater, I kind of fell in love with it. You know, it was just one of those loved affairs that just kind of, you know, spun into Cinepocalypse. But it just felt like the proper team up, you know, the beautiful space at the Music Box, all their wonderful programmers. And, you know, it just felt like something special right there. So it's kind of morphed into Cinepocalypse, and this is year two.
And give us what is Cinepocalypse? What does it mean? You say it's a genre film festival. Expound on that a little bit.
So it's a mix of action, horror, sci-fi, anything concerningly odd. We do a lot of repertory events. It's really just a week-long celebration of film. And so, you know, everything from, you know, some of our favorite pastime, you know, nostalgic affairs to brand new world premiere titles. But, you know, this year it was really important for us, you know, to find some brand new discoveries. And so we spent the year digging really deep. Just finding some films that we can present for the very first time to Chicago.
That's great, man. And Mike, welcome to the show, my friend. Tell us about Daily Grindhouse.
Well, we're a genre film site based out of New York, but most of our writers come from Chicago, as I'm the assistant editor when I started kind of farming out positions here. So when we found out Cinepocalypse was coming back to Chicago, we had such a good time last year, we said we got to come on as sponsors this year.
And so how many people work on Daily Grindhouse? Tell me a little bit more about that.
We have probably a main staff of about 5 or 6, and we allow contributors from all over, of all different, let's say, people untested or experienced writers. Like, if you want to write about horror, action, sci-fi, we'll probably give you a shot. We're just trying to breed a new breed of writers out of here.
Now, what's your background, Mike?
Oh, I grew up in Chicago, grew up in the South Side, still live down here. That's why it's a pretty big deal that Lana Wachowski is showing up for this thing for all of us down here. We all, when The Matrix came out, that was a big deal because, I mean, they're kind of quiet about where they're from, but it's always been suggested that it was from Beverly, which is where I grew up. Came on, started doing some freelance writing, and then came on as assistant editor for Daily Grindhouse a couple years ago. So I've been going around to different film festivals all over America and down to the Overlook Film Festival and the South by Southwest and Fantastic Fest every year. And really great to see a big-time genre film festival based out of Chicago.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. When did you start getting into genre movies, Mike?
Oh, I did this started when I was very young. There were really no boundaries in my household. It was almost like my mom made a deal with me. She was like, you know, all right, I'll buy you Fangoria and Cracked every month. Just don't start drinking or getting into drugs or anything until your 20s, okay? And it worked out. It worked out pretty well.
And, Josh, when did you start getting into these kind of movies? Was it ever since you were a kid? Were you into this kind of stuff?
You know what it feels like since it was day one? I grew up in Philadelphia. My dad was the marketing director for a movie chain here called West Coast Video. So I just consumed all the content I possibly could. I mean, I tore apart that horror wall five times over. But yeah, I mean, since day one, I've been into genre cinema. I think, you know, as a kid, it's like, it's the movies they tell you you can't watch, right? Those are the movies that you really want to watch. And so that was... The horror wall was the first wall that I picked apart, and it's just kind of stayed with me ever since.
Yeah, I mean, I'm older than you guys, but I started out, you know, horror movies were my life when I was a little kid. I started out watching, you know, Creature Features here in Chicago with all the great classic Universal horror movies, and then moved on to Hammer, which blew my mind, you know, because you see the old Universal Dracula and the old Universal Frankenstein movies, and then all of a sudden you see the Hammer versions with all the boobs and blood and the color, and it's like, well, this is the way they should have been making these movies in the first place.
And you know what? And I think as you kind of grow as it too, you understand the community that's built around it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like it's a very special group of people, of like-minded individuals, and so I always felt like, you know, just growing up as a kid, as like, you know, a pseudo punk rock kid, it was like, well, horror just kind of felt the same.
Yeah.
Right, like especially at that time in, you know, the mid to late 80s, it was, you know, the genre was at its peak, but still, you know, from the outside looking in, it was just kind of like, oh, look at these wacky weirdos that are into like these gore fests.
And, yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's really changed over time, but, you know, it's always, and one of the things that we try to show with an apocalypse is that genre cinema is much more than that, right? Like, you're not going to find many films within our festival that are just all out gore and bloodfest. There's a lot more creativity behind these films and independence from those types of movies.
Yeah. Well, you're right about the community being strong. I've been a host at Flashback Horror Convention since 2002. And every first weekend in August, we all gather together, and it's our brethren, man. And it's just 3 days of genre and horror freaks, you know, hanging out and feeling comfortable. So,
yeah, you don't see those types of conventions for like rom-coms, right?
No, you don't. No, and I wouldn't want to, quite frankly. So I want to get to the schedule and some of the other, you mentioned some of the other events that are happening, Josh. I want to get to that in a second. But Mike, you write a lot of stuff, and you wrote a piece about Solo, a Star Wars story, and you were really, really positive on it, and so am I. I think it's a terrific movie, and I'm really, really disappointed by the response that it's getting. But you wrote a nice piece. Why did you respond so strongly to Solo?
Well, for me, as somebody who was, I liked The Last Jedi fine. I mean, it was pretty good. Like, for me, Solo was the closest thing. My favorite Star Wars movie is the first one, and this was like kind of the closest thing to recapturing that tone since 1977. And he's my favorite character, which a lot of people said, oh, well, you're partial to that. I go, no, that's why you can trust me, because if they messed it up, I would have let everybody know.
Right.
But I think we're going to see headlines in about, I mean, the way the internet works, 5 years, saying that Solo was misunderstood in the wake of The Last Jedi, and everybody will call it this unsung masterpiece. But at least you and I will be in at the ground floor on that.
Yeah,
one.
No, listen, I've liked all of the new Star Wars, the Disney Star Wars movies. I've liked them all. And my weirdo, like me, my favorite is Rogue One. Of all of them, Rogue One is my favorite because everybody dies. And that's why it's my favorite. But no, I had a great time at Solo, and I was really surprised. But you guys know how it is on the internet with the fanboys. If you know, they're going to do everything they can to ruin things for other people. That's, or at least that's part of it.
Unfortunately, social media gives a voice to everybody, yeah. Even them.
Yeah, it's true. And also, Mike, I have to ask you. You recently took part in a podcast where you shared your love for Streets of Fire.
yes, one of my absolute favorites.
Well, yeah, it's one of the greatest movies ever. What was it? How did Streets of Fire come up on a podcast in 2018?
I think I came on to talk about it. I was talking about weird kind of rock and roll musicals on the wrong reel. That's one out of New York. They do good work over there.
Yeah.
Streets of Fire, Phantom of Paradise, The Paradise, That Thing You Do, and Shock Treatment, which I absolutely love too. I mean, even as a Rocky Horror fan, I think Shock Treatment's pretty good. And I mean, not to commit heresy, but I think some of the music might actually be better.
So, Streets of Fire. Tell me about your memories of seeing Streets of Fire and how it captured your imagination.
You know, I always saw the box art. Just thought it was kind of cool looking. You know, that Ash was talking about it at the video store wall, but just never picked it up until it was. They showed it on VH1 endlessly when I was in high school, and that was it. I mean, I loved the soundtrack, and as I was actually just tweeting about tonight, like that whole kind of neon noir, wet street, smoky aesthetic that I kind of loved from those old Night Belong to a Michelob commercials.
Right. Just
kind of appealed to me. And like, then I found out, oh, it's Walter Hill. This is the same guy who did 48 Hours. This is the same guy who did, what's the one I really like?
The Warriors,
right. Because I always said Streets of Fire kind of feels like it could take place in the same universe as The Warriors.
Yeah.
And I just think it's too cool. It was too cool for the time.
I agree. I totally agree with you, and I think it's a movie that that has aged really, really well, and it's totally original. And Diane Lane is hot, and Rick Moranis is hilarious, and the action is great, and Willem Dafoe is fantastic. It's just the music is great, and it's a it was described, it's a rock and roll fable. That's exactly what it is, and it feels that way. And I just have a soft spot for anything Walter Hill directs. I just think he's just. I mean, the amount of classic movies that this guy has directed, and Josh, obviously, that guy's a genre filmmaker of the highest order.
Yeah, I couldn't agree anymore. We've actually tried to get Walter out here for the past couple of years, and thankfully he's staying very busy. Right, he's producing a ton of television right now. He's still entirely active, so. Hopefully one of these years we'll be able to get him to Cinepocalypse.
Yeah, I met him.
He's always very cordial.
I met him one time, and he came through town to the radio station to promote Johnny Handsome, and I pissed him off. And you don't want to piss off Walter Hill. Walter Hill's like the last guy in the world that you want to piss off. But I said to him, oh, man, I said, we were talking about Johnny Handsome. I was like, man, I'll tell you, I think it's one of the best films you've made till the last 20 minutes. And he went, what are you telling me, man? You didn't like the ending? And I was like, but he signed my Warriors poster anyway. So I was all right, guys, hang on, okay?
For sure.
All right, hang on, guys. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here. Josh Goldblum, the founder and the artistic director of Cinepocalypse Film Festival, is here. And Mike Vanderbilt, who is assistant editor of Daily Grindhouse, they're co-sponsoring the event. It starts on the 21st, runs through the 28th, and it's at the beautiful Music Box Theater. And we're going to get a rundown of so many of the films that we're going to be seeing and events and special guest stars. It's just going to be a blast, and it continues to be really popular and really awesome. And make sure you check it out for the week at the Music Box. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back after this on WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Hey, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It is Wildcard Wednesday. Get your request in now. Any artist, anything, any song, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. That's the phone number for your Wildcard Wednesday requests. And there's a very cool film festival that's going to start on the 21st. And run through the 28th, and it's at the Music Box Theater, and it's called the Cinepocalypse Film Festival. It's a genre film festival. The founder and artistic director of Cinepocalypse Film Festival is Josh Goldblum. He joins us, and so is Mike Vanderbilt, who is the assistant editor of Daily Grindhouse. They're one of the sponsors for the event. You can check out CinepocalypseGenreFest.com and DailyGrindhouse.com for more information. Let's welcome the guys back. Josh, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And Mike, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
All right. Josh, tell me about some of the other things that are happening, because I'm looking at this schedule and it's just jammed. It's jam-packed.
Yeah.
We've got a ton of movies. Give me some of the rundown, man.
Well, we kick off. Opening night is this Thursday with the brand-new Orion Pictures film starring Kate Bosworth. It's called The Domestics, and it's an absolutely – speaking of Walter Hill – It's definitely Mad Max meets the Warriors in a post-apocalyptic showdown. It's such a wonderful film, and we're so over the moon with being able to screen this for the very first time.
That's great, man. All right, so that's your opening night. What else we got? You got. I'm looking at Boogeyman Pop. This is a world premiere.
Yeah, this is a world premiere from Blumhouse. You know, responsible for most recently for Upgrade and the Purge movies, and you know the brand new Halloween coming out.
Yep.
So Boogeyman Pop is an interesting film. Blumhouse had approached us a few months back with this project, and it's speaking again of Rogue One. It's produced by Chris White, but they found this filmmaker Brad Michael Elmore via a movie that he released on YouTube. That went viral, and they put some money about Chris White's put some money behind him to get this project started, and it stars the late great Bill Paxton's son James Paxton in an absolutely breakout role. But they brought this movie to Blumhouse, and Blumhouse put in the finishing funds to get them over the top, and we'll be screening it for the very first time.
That's great, man. Now, I'm looking at at some of the other movies that you're screening, and I was one of the people who was thrilled and followed the whole Gags the Clown saga, and I was happy at every I was happy every time that Gags made an appearance anywhere. It just made me happy, and so the movie Gags is going to be screened at your fest.
Those kids went viral with that story, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it made it all the way to like the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Gags was actually submitted to our festival via Film Freeway, and it kind of blew us away. We had no idea what to expect from it. I wasn't aware of the viral video the first time that they saw the film, but I mean, what an incredible marketing routine or experience for them. It's absolutely fascinating. I mean, before we even screened the movie, they have close to 100,000 followers on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I was just like really thrilled by every appearance, and it would just be the dude standing there dressed like a clown, holding some balloons, not saying anything, just standing under a street light, freaking people out. And I thought that was the cool.
Yeah, I think at the time, I don't know if they have plans to shoot a feature film. I know it was all surrounding the short film that they produced. And I think, because of the viral capacity of it, they were just like, hey, let's turn this into a feature movie. But it stars Lauren Ashley Carter, who I think is absolutely wonderful. I don't know if you've seen Jugface or Mickey Keating's Darling. She's kind of like a little independent superstar, but she's so wonderful. And she's one of my absolute favorite actresses. She's incredible in the film.
Yeah.
So it's pretty exciting. And, they're Chicago neighbors. They're coming over from Wisconsin.
Yeah, that'll be great. Now, some of the other things that you're doing, you're going to Lana Wachowski is going to be there. You guys are going to screen Bound, which was the film they made before The Matrix. A terrific movie.
Yeah, we actually we got the print from Yale University. I can't recall the last time that this movie was screened in 35mm, so that's very exciting for me, and just to be graced with her presence.
Yeah.
Right, to me, one of the most very special filmmakers of at least my generation.
No question.
As well as an activist and an auteur, and, she's just done so much incredible work. So for her, and the discussion was, she's really excited to revisit her first film. And
yeah.
So I think it's going to be a very special evening for a lot of people, including myself.
Yeah, no, that's going to be, and it's such a good film. It's such a good movie.
I don't know if it feels like a forgotten gem, right? I mean,
yeah.
Everything that she did with her sister after that was just so huge. And this is a much smaller claustrophobic title, but I mean, what a great tense noir she put together with this film. And Jennifer Tilly and Gina Gershon, oh my God.
Amazing. Joe Pantoliano, too. Joey Pants, real great in it.
Joey Pants.
Yeah. And then Ernest Dickerson is coming to town, who is not only started out as an amazing cinematography with Spike Lee's DP. Became a really great filmmaker, directed a bunch of great movies. Man, it sounds like we haven't even scratched the surface. If people want to check out the schedule of all the other films that you're showing in world premieres, everybody check out cinepocalypsegenrefest.com. And it starts on Thursday, and it runs through the 28th at the Music Box Theater. Josh, always a pleasure, man. I hope you guys have a fantastic success with this.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah.
I look forward to talking to you every year. Really appreciate it.
Okay,
that.
Buddy. And Mike, it's nice to talk to you, man. And best of luck with Daily Grindhouse. Continued success, okay, buddy?
Thank you very much.
Okay,
pleasure talking to you.
Okay, take care, guys.
Thanks.
All right, see you later. There you go. There's Josh Goldblum, founder and artistic director of Cinepocalypse Film Festival, and Mike Vanderbilt of Daily Grindhouse, who is co-sponsoring the event. Check out musicboxtheater.com and cinepocalypsegenrefest.com for all the details and the full schedule. All right, we'll take a break here on 720 WGN.